this topic of the watchman. So thus far we have seen that it is our calling. We have seen what duties it entails, what we need to do as a watchman. We also saw what we need to say. What is it that we want about? What is the message of the watchman? So I'd just like to ask, are we convinced yet that this is something that we all must do? Do we really see how important this role really is? Because watchmen in these ancient cities, they were of great critical importance. The whole fate of the city lies in the vigilance of this watchman. If he did his part, the city will be safe. If he didn't do his part, then the city will be in constant peril. Because any enemy that comes, it doesn't require too great a force. If just a small group of very skillful invaders, they come, they throw up ropes, they steal the city walls, they get into the city, and the city is caught unawares, and the city will be in trouble. The office of the watchman was one that was extremely important, of extreme importance, for the safety of the entire population rested in his hands. For today's text, we're going to come back and revisit verse 1 to verse 9, but I'm just going to focus on one particular phrase or two particular phrases. We have not discussed that in great detail yet. And that is the idea of blood being upon your hands or your head and of delivering his soul or your own soul. Deliverance of the soul and blood upon your head. Now, what do these phrases mean and what is the implication for us? You see, what we're discussing here when we talk about the watchman is really a matter of life and death. Just like if the watchman in the ancient city did not do his part, he will spell death for the people within the city. But of course, the death that we are talking about in the city is just physical death. There is judgment coming, there are troops invading, and if the watchman did not do his part, the city, the people in the city will die. But Ezekiel, of course, was called to be not just a physical watchman, he was called to be a spiritual watchman. He was to watch over the souls of the people, their relationship with God, whether they rebelled from God, whether they continued in their wickedness, or whether they repented, turned back to the Lord, and sought righteousness from Him. And so what we're talking about here is eternal life and eternal death. That is what hangs in the balance. We're speaking here more than just judgment in the present or some little afflictions of infirmities that you face in this present life. Far more than that, what we are talking about has eternal consequences. The death of the soul. And so when you look through this passage, you see a few consequences or a few outcomes, few scenarios with regards to what the watchman did or didn't do. Verse 8, you see that, well, if you do, you don't warn, what happens? You don't warn, the wicked shall surely die. You do not, he will die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Who said? The watchman's hand. That's the first idea. In verse 9, the second idea, we see that when he does do his warning, but yet the wicked does not repent, yes, the blood is upon his own head. You see that in verse 4. The blood shall be upon his own head. But you yourself, you as the watchman, you shall deliver your soul. Of course, the final outcome is the most ideal. You see that in the last line of verse 5, he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Now, so what do these three things mean? Obviously, when we consider these three scenarios, we want the last one, right? When you preach and the person repents and is saved. The first two instances, whether you preach or you don't preach, yet they may still rebel and they will die. But at least if we did something, if we did do our part to warn, there is a possibility that the person will be saved. If you did not do your part, the first scenario, that is, you don't preach, he doesn't repent, he goes and he dies in his wickedness, and there is no hope for him. Right? So what does this deliver your soul refer to? What does it mean? It says that, well, if you do your part, you have delivered your soul. And we know that this is definitely not talking about your salvation. You don't earn your salvation through going spreading the gospel. That is simply not found in God's word. Neither does it mean that if we don't do our part, we lose our salvation. We know that it's not possible. We can't lose our salvation. salvation, if you are truly saved. What he's talking about here is that you will not be held responsible, you will not be blamed for negligence or sloth. Because we are accountable, right, to the people that we are called to be watchmen for. To deliver your soul, to deliver literally means to grasp or to snatch from. So you have absolved your responsibility, you're free, you have fulfilled your responsibilities, you are free from guilt or blame. That is what happens when we fulfill our part, when we do our responsibility. We see that in Acts chapter 20 as well. He uses the phrase, "I am pure from the blood of all men," and this is the Apostle Paul when he speaks to the elders at Ephesus. He gathers them together and he says, "I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I have done my part. 3 years I spent with you and I preached night and day, and I told you all things that you need to know. I warned you, I rebuked you, I told you the gospel, I called you to repent and turn to God. I did my part for 3 years." Therefore, he says in verse 26, "Wherefore I take you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." That is what we must do. We see the eternal importance, the consequences of our role. And we know that if we do not, then the blame will be placed upon us. We will not deliver our soul, but the blood will be upon our hands. Well, of course, we can in our own defense say, "Well, sometimes when I don't preach, well, other people will come and preach, right? And, you know, in the end, he's still saved." But that's not the point. The point is what you are doing. The point is the responsibility that God has placed upon you, and what are you doing about it? You cannot always rely on someone else and say, "Oh, someone else may do it." Or sometimes you say, "Oh, I'm a Calvinist," and you retreat into that shell of a false idea of Calvinism and say, "Well, you know, if God wills that he's saved, he will be saved." Right? Sometimes you hear that argument. "Oh, it's after all in the sovereignty of God." Very high sounding words we say. If God wills for someone to say, yes, truly, you'll be saved. But it's not for us to dictate. Neither is it for us to retreat behind this shelter and say, "Oh, I don't need to do anything at all." No. God calls us as to be his vessels. He says, "How shall they hear except there be a preacher? And you know, how will they understand except there be someone sent?" Who are the ones being sent? Is it not you and I? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. It is from the mouth of men that people will receive the gospel message. It is from the mouth of men that people will have this option or opportunity to at least do something about their own salvation. So for us, we have to understand that this is the important role, the responsibility that has been placed upon us. If we do nothing, then there is no chance for the person. It's the same for the watchman. Watchman, and that will refer, of course, to you and me. But yet, when we use this word responsibility and duty, it always feels like it's something heavy, like a burden placed upon us, and we don't like it. Sometimes that's how we feel about evangelism, right? Very, very few people always, you know, when people organize evangelism sessions or go out to spread the God's word, there is always a very lackluster sort of response. Because sometimes we see just as a duty, as a burden, as something that is pressing down heavily upon us, and we don't really want to do it. But realize that it is also a privilege. It is a privilege. Because if you look at verse 5, "He that taketh warning shall deliver his soul." Now that is the fruit and the rewards that can come out of sharing the gospel. That people's lives will be changed, people's lives will be saved. You know, God could have very well did away with any of us being so sinful, so weak, so reluctant, and say, "Well, I'll just do it by myself. I'll be the one saving." But no, he did not do that. He did not pass his angels to this divine class. He passed you and me. To think that a sinful person like me and you, someone who is so weak, someone who cannot really speak, but yet God says, "I will use you. I will use you to be my vessel." It is through your words, through your mouth, through the things that you do and say, that someone else can come to this understanding of who God is. It is, yes, on one hand, an awesome task, but on the other hand, it is a great privilege to think that God will entrust such a great responsibility. And we are not to look upon this as just a responsibility, but we look upon it as a privilege. That is why this is important to us. It is what the least that we can do for God after all that He has done for us. The least you can do, God says, you go out and tell others about Me. You tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do this, not only will the blood not be upon our heads, now that is the negative part of it, right? We don't want to be blamed. We want to be absolved from our responsibility. You shall deliver your soul. But more than that, they shall deliver their soul. They will be free from their iniquity. And shouldn't that be an incentive or something positive for us to look towards? So we have all been called to this privilege. Look upon it as that. Look upon it as something that we have such an honor to do, that God will entrust this upon us. And you know, when we look about, when we think about this duty of a watchman, this we are always talking about just preaching the gospel, telling people who do not know Christ about Christ. And we always think about, well, going out into the streets, going from door to door, giving out tracts, or maybe telling your colleagues or your friends, those that you know are not churchgoers, to start coming to church, to start hearing the gospel. More than that, we have also a duty of being a watchman amongst our fellow brethren as well, amongst our own family members, amongst our friends, even in church. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, we see how pastors are to be watchmen over their own flock. See that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, obey them that have rule over you. Who are that? These are the church leaders. And submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls. They are the watchmen of your lives, of your souls, as David then must give account. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. They see it as a privilege. So that is how they were to see, how they are to see their role as well. It is a great honor that they can be charged with the watching over of our souls. So pastors have a charge of watching over their flock. But we also know that parents, they are like the pastors of the home, the father and house. He is the pastor of the home. And so he also must charge, he has charge over his own family. And to a certain degree, we have a charge over our own friends around us as well. And what can we do as a watchman? To the people that we know are obviously not churchgoers, of course, we encourage them and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. But people amongst us as well, the pastors have charge over the flock. They warn. Sometimes we say, oh, why do they keep repeating themselves, saying the same thing over and over again? Keep warning and telling us about all these movements around them. And well, shouldn't they be doing about this? Will we submit to their charge? We understand that they have seen the danger, like the watchman that stands upon a tower. They scan the horizon, they look into the distance, and they know that there are all these dangers out there. And they warn us. They warn us. That is their privilege, their joy, that they do it, not with grief, but with joy. My wife to the parents, your charge are your children. Yes, we think, oh, you know, we bring them to church camp and we send them for the children's program, well, they're well taken care of. That's good. The parents also have their role over their own children. To be a watchman for them, to warn them of the dangers, to guide them in the right path, to tell them about salvation, to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, to encourage them to walk with the Lord, encourage them to serve. Sometimes we get all the priorities wrong. We spend all our time exhorting and encouraging them with worldly things, telling them, oh, you know, it is important to build a future, important to do all these things in terms of school, and then we neglect our spiritual responsibility as a watchman. What is our priorities? What is our focus? The duty of the watchman extends more than just the gospel, but also with regards to spiritual well-being, your souls. That is what he has to do, he has to deliver the souls of the people, so that the blood will not be upon his hands. So when we think about the importance of the watchman, we see this as a spiritual duty that we all have to fulfill. Then when we go through this life, when we think about what we do every single day, what is constantly on our minds? A lot of times it's bound up with our own self, with our own desires. Really, the role as a Christian, when we say that I love one another, what it means is that my care, my heart extends beyond just me, but to the people around me. And when I care for the people around me, it is, again, far more than just the physical needs that we are concerned about. We are concerned about spiritual things. That is a mindset, that is the thinking of a Christian. And that's the mindset of a watchman. As he goes about his life, he sees this duty. He sees how important this role really is, and he will not be derelict of it. He will constantly be on the mind to think and see, how can I better fulfill this role? How can I better deal with this privilege in my life? I see it as a joy. I see it as something that I really look forward to doing. I see it as something that I, as a believer, will always want to do. To the people that I come, the people around me, my family, the flock that God has entrusted me with. So this is your joy, your privilege. Not just the role of the pastor, not just the role of missionaries or evangelists. This is the role of every Christian, and we must see that it is something important that we have to do. So we read again verse 7. So thou, O Son of Man, we can read this as all of us. We too have been set a watchman unto the house, for Ezekiel it was Israel, but into our house, our families, our friends, our loved ones around us, our spheres of influences. Therefore, let us hear the word at the Lord, at the mouth of the Lord. Let us warn people around us. That is the importance of our duty. That is the importance of our role. Look upon it as a privilege, as a joy. And that will really help us in the exercise of this role. To go out, to warn, encourage, to help, to spiritually exhort. Let us all do our